Okay, welcome back. I'll talk to Professor Jim this hour. So much going on, and never fear, there's always good news out there. The Washington Post named John Molesta today, Podesta, a new political analyst, a writer for the Washington Post. Well, Pizzagate, John, gets a free ride, lots of platform to scream and yell and do whatever he does on. What a disgusting situation. Hello, Jim. Welcome back.
The game plan has just come into view. I listened to Lawrence O'Donnell start his show just before I came down, Jeff, and he's saying there's a growing medical consensus that Donald Trump is out of his mind.
Medical consensus on which side of the political spectrum?
This is, I know, it's all completely absurd.
Unreal. And, you know, well, the liberal socialist Bolshevik communists are capable of anything. They've got their servants and the mainstream media to proffer anything they want to puke out, which is what they do.
You know, they've talked about the 25th Amendment, where the Section 4 says the cabinet can, by a simple majority vote, strip the president of
Majority. It's not true. But anyway, yeah.
Well, let me finish it, Jeff. I'm just reading what it says.
Oh, I see. I see.
Can, by a simple majority vote, strip the president of his powers, immediately hand power to the vice president. The catch is that the ousted president can object. In that case, Congress must approve the ouster by a two-third vote in each chamber, or the president regains office. And obviously, that's never going to happen. But this thing with Lawrence O'Donnell is bizarre, Jeff. I mean, he's implying that Donald Trump is clinically insane, which is simply absurd.
No, it's worse than that. It's really libelous and slanderous.
He's a public figure.
Yeah, I know.
So it's actual malice. Actually, technically, you're right, Jeff, because in the case of a public figure, you must have actual malice. In other words, anything you sincerely believe, you can assert about him. But if you're asserting something that you know to be false and go ahead and assert it anyway with the intent to, you know, mislead your target audience, that constitutes libel even against a public figure.
I completely agree. Thank you for the video. I don't know that I can play it here. I have another video. It's called Body Language Podesta Interview. That one I can play. Now,
yeah.
Is that the one you want me to play?
No, it was this little short one. It's only like a minute and 50 seconds.
All right.
People can look for on twitter.com/ Suzicha, Suzicha. And this is a semi-demonic performance. I believe it's in the comet Ping Pong. And I personally, having listened to this, believe it is John Podesta. That's the question. Is this Podesta? He appears to be beating a child, demanding of her that she say what she should call him. He's insisting she should call him his father. But it's pretty bizarre, Jeff. It's pretty bizarre. I repeat, twitter.com/ Suzicha. And when you put together everything else that's going on, you know, you mentioned already about the Washington Post giving him a column, which, of course, is indicative of the corrupt standing of the Washington Post, which we know Jeff Bezos bought to be his political plaything to turn into an instrument of propaganda. It is the newspaper that published the obscure finding on this Proper Not website, which was created just for the purpose of the Russian dossier, which was then played back and forth between Obama and Brennan and the New York Times and the Washington Post. Yeah,
I don't know which is worse, the Post or the Times. They're both at the bottom of the barrel, the dregs. Oh, you know,
well,
what we can.
The Times is not quite as obvious and blatant as the Post. The Post has become a disaster.
He doesn't even pretend. You know what we can try to do, Jim? Why don't you start that video and put it up to your phone or your mic? Let's see if we can get it to.
Well, the catch is that the output is coming to my headphones.
I see.
I mean,
okay.
I could put my. Well, let me try it. I can.
If you can get it through a speaker. Or even headphone.
I'll put my headphone up to the mic. Hang on.
Let's see.
Let's try this, Jeff.
Then come back on the phone and real quick.
Here goes.
No, nothing. Nothing yet, Jim, if you can hear me.
You couldn't hear it?
No, nothing.
Okay.
All right, well, we'll remind people where to go. It's got to show up on YouTube at some point, and when it does, I'll put it up at the top of the homepage.
Yeah, well, I've sent you the link. Let me see.
Is it on YouTube yet? Is it on YouTube?
It doesn't seem to be on YouTube yet. Seems to be on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is a Twitter page. I've never seen one like this before.
But, is it a center column kind of a page? I have the same thing. It says, you are on Twitter mobile because you are using an old version of Safari. I don't know what that exactly entails.
Saying that to you? I mean, I actually have Safari open myself here. But let me see if I can switch to...
The video is... I see a still screen of it, but I can't get it to perform.
Yeah. Let me see. Let me find it here.
Is this that thing at Ping Pong where the guy had a demonic kind of whiny voice?
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard that before. And they think that might be Molesta.
It sounds to me like Podesta.
Well, you've seen what happened to his hands. Somebody did that to his hands. He mutilated his hands.
Oh, yeah, this is all weird stuff, yeah. Let me send you this other thing and see if it'll work any better, Jeff. Let me find it.
Sure. Yeah, good.
I'll send it to you now. But for Lawrence O'Donnell to be going on and saying, you know, what would be the basis for claiming that Donald is insane, you know? These phony stories they've made up, you know, the Russian dossier, hacking, you know,
let's back up and rewind and go back to Obama. Fake birth certificate. Come on, we could go, there's a whole long list of things. Who's his father? What was his mother doing working for the Ford Foundation? I mean, there's scandal after scandal.
I sent you another link that might be manageable.
Okay, I spent a little bit last hour talking about the Donald's new updated immigration plan. I'm just appalled. He's allowing the Dreamers to stay, the Children's Crusade. Tens of thousands of children were actually abandoned by their families and sent to cross the U.S. border. They're going to stay. He never makes mention of anchor babies anywhere. He says we're going to, what did he say, energetically vet or something like that. Anyway, he's going to vet all new aliens who come into this country. Well, we all know that the Muslims literally, in many cases, have no paper trail. What are you going to vet? They're going to come in here and tell you lies, and you're going to vet them on that basis? No more Muslims can be allowed into this country. Period. It will not work. Islam means death to the Western Christian world. It doesn't assimilate. It's not compatible. It will never be allowed to be. If a Muslim starts announcing that he is subverting Islam in favor of the Constitution, they'll kill him. He'll be dead. That's not how it works with them. So I'm not happy with the new immigration plan. I don't think it goes anywhere near far enough.
It actually sounds worse than what he had before.
I don't see anything to be encouraged. You telling me that, I'll buy it, sure.
I mean, he has the law behind him. I mean, all he has to do is enforce it, but it does require a directive. It gives a president the authority, which is indisputable. It sounds to me like he's trying to accommodate too many pressure groups, you know, who are promoting political.
Well, that's what Joel Skousen says. He Donald Trump wants to please people. That's kind of his nature. And he doesn't like to say no. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what Joel says, and he's got good context. And that would make sense, because he's contradicting himself too many times, And it suggests that he is trying to please too many pressure groups. I don't have the answer, but I can just make the observations.
Well, this is going to mightily piss him off, the fact that the uprising against him is now attempting to claim that he's not mentally competent.
I saw that story yesterday, the first part of it, and I just laughed. And yeah,
who would believe it?
It's absurd. It's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. They're really getting out there now into the ethers with their lunacy. These left wing nuts.
It is so blatant.
Yeah,
and it's so outrageous, Jeff. I mean, how can anyone take any of this seriously? I mean, it was bad enough when they claimed there was, you know, Russian hacking to the DNC when there was no Russian hacking. It was right. A leak that came from inside the DNC. And then they claimed, you know, that there was interference with the election when the machines weren't even connected to the Internet. The only interference we have is from the Department of Homeland Security, which may have tried to hack at least six different state electoral systems, probably trying to feign being Russian. And then you have, you know, his complaints about the many votes being cast illegally, where it seems to me there can be no doubt about it when you add in Jerry Brown's motor voter law from 2015, where you're automatically registered to vote when you get a driver's license, given that illegal aliens in California are allowed to get driver's licenses. When you have Barack Obama himself going on this Latino station, and in response to the anchor's concern that many want to vote, but they're worried their documents will be checked, he says, no worry about it. You, when you're in that voting booth, you're a citizen, trading on the ambiguity between performing the function of a citizen and being legally entitled to perform.
To me, that's treasonous talk.
It was. And then the Michigan recount that showed that 95% of the many communities were voting 95% in favor of Hillary had their ballot boxes stuffed after the polls were closed, Jeff.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you picked up on this. The Kansas Secretary of State reported that if the similar proportion of those who had voted wrongly, falsely, illegally in Kansas were projected to the country, at least a million had voted fraudulently. And how can the media say there's no evidence of this? They're writing in the newspaper that Donald Trump claims with no evidence at all that millions voted illegally, and I've just enumerated evidence that's available to everyone who does even a modicum of research on the topic.
You're right. Please resend that email. It didn't get here. Don't know why.
I'll check it right now.
And then there was the recount in, I think it was Detroit, wasn't it? And when the tabulation reached 110% of the actual residents there, the judge ordered the recount stopped.
Jeff, I'm saying it again, but it's got the same heading. You know, send me the URL. That would be the title.
Yeah, I know. Nothing's come in from you since...
Okay, I've just sent it again. This is all the second time. You should have got it twice by now. Okay. But the fact is that on all these counts, Donald's been correct. He was right about the birther issue.
Sure.
The media has ignored it. You even had Sheriff Joe Arpaio do a forensic examination, conclude the Hawaiian birth certificate was a fabrication. I had expert go over it 2 years before. I mean, maybe even three. It was a long time ago, concluding the Hawaiian birth certificate was a fabrication. He's got a Connecticut Social Security number. He never lived or resided in Connecticut. Apparently, he actually has several of them. Well, we have found a birth certificate, appears to be authentic, from Kenya. We have this guy who was at Harvard at the same time with Obama, went to a social event where Obama was complaining to him that people didn't seem to like him and that he was there when they got to talking about admission as a foreign student because he was born in Kenya. And then we have this other YouTube with this Loretta Fuddy, who is the Hawaiian education official who actually had certified his birth certificate,
right,
who dies in a mysterious airplane crash.
I read a lot about that plane crash. Plane goes in the water, it's a commuter plane, small twin engine. There were about 12 people on board altogether. Everybody got out, just floated on the water, they were fine. except for Loretta Fuddy. She drowned. So who drowned Loretta Fuddy in the plane crash that everybody got out of and just hung out until the boats came and picked them up in the warm waters of Hawaii?
Maybe she was drugged before she got on the plane, so she couldn't respond to save herself when the plane went down. You know.
Okay, I got your emails, both of them, and it's showing me that same constricted.
Well, there's one right below Twitter. It, see, that I thought might make a difference. It's the longer Twitter URL that I thought might work.
No, I kicked back to the same thing.
Did it? Yeah. Kick back to the same, yeah.
It goes back to mobile Twitter, sorry. When it gets up on YouTube, we'll highlight it. Somebody will move it over there.
It's quite frenetic, and you know, lots of yelling and sounds of children screaming. And it does sound to me that it is John Podesta. And the idea that this gross pedophile, I mean, the evidence is so overwhelming, Jeff. If you even go back to what I think is still the best introduction, hashtag Pizzagate, what we know so far. I mean, this all came out of the Podesta emails. And this latest appears to be, by the way, I think this was also from WikiLeaks, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, I'm looking at the picture of this fellow in the freeze frame of the video. No shirt. And it appears that he's holding a child. Yeah. I can't figure it. I don't know.
Hey, did you notice that Trump had a meeting today about human trafficking where he brought in a bunch of experts?
No. Tell me more.
Yeah. Yeah, it was done today. See, I think they're laying the groundwork for preparing the public for a very big crackdown on all of this. And, you know, this Ashton Kutcher, who was the husband of Demi Moore for a while,
yeah,
testified before Congress about child abuse. He didn't use the word Pizzagate. What I'm suspicious about in that instance, Jeff, is that he's holding himself out to be, you know, the leader somehow of the Pizzagate.
It was a very odd thing. He did step forward and did present himself as that kind of a spokesman, as almost weeping. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't.
Now listen. My source for this suggests recruiting Sherry Edwards to ask her if she could do a voice analysis to confirm that it is indeed John Podesta.
Well. We will see. This talk about arresting a wide swath in the pedophile world of D.C. and the upper reaches of American political power continues to fester. We'll see what happens. I don't have an answer. I hope. But if they start, let's say they arrested 5 senators and 20 in the House for pedophilia, that would really take this country down a few notches for quite a while. I don't know that they'll go that far. I just don't know.
They have to do it, Jeff. This uprising against Trump, this attempted coup, is being motivated by those who are afraid they're about to be cracked for pedophilia.
Yes, I agree with you on that.
So there's no way you can cope with it if you don't do that. That's the single most direct and efficacious method of defanging the movement. And there's so many involved here. I mean, it's just completely disgusting. And we know who we're dealing with by and large. I mean,
oh, I think we do. We could probably put most of the eggs in the right basket here. I don't think that's a problem. Meanwhile, Tillerson and Kelly went to Mexico today, trying to smooth things over, and I'm not sure it worked. I'm not sure what they're really doing down there. Trump has made his statements and his promises about the wall. We'll have to see. I still think there are many other things that can be done that ought to be done, just for initial starters. You cut off all federal aid to all immigrants. You cut off all federal aid to any states that provide any kind of federal or other assistance to immigrants, so the self-deportation waves begin, and they will. They will leave the country. Trump can do that. He can cut, as I understand it, he can, through executive order, cut off federal aid to any state that basically he chooses.
But he's got to play hardball.
You can't. Jeff, no, you can't. Exactly. Exactly.
He's got to play hardball. If he plays puffball down, forget it. It's all over. He's done because they're not going to be relenting. Nothing he does is going to pacify these people, Jeff. He's too big a threat.
Meanwhile, President Pence stands back in the shadows, unless he's being pushed forward to the lectern and the cameras, and he acts like, you know, Mr. Nice Guy. He has turned basically things around on Trump half a dozen times now, so I'm not sure who Pence is serving. He's unknown to me. Who are his masters? I think we can probably guess, but I'm not impressed with him. Never have been.
Well, he had the virtues of Pence were that he had been a very competent governor.
Not according to people that live in the state. There are a lot of people who hate him. So I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
Well, this was the way they were able to present him in any case. Right. You know, and then he had this background with Congress, and Donald needed someone who knew Congress. That was probably an argument against running with Flynn, for example. I don't know what happened to the story I heard about Chris Christie heading for Washington, D.C. I thought he was going to be replacing Rince Priebus because we had this report that it was a deputy chief of staff, Katie Lynch, that was the source of the leaks. I mean, that was out there, Jeff, and I haven't seen anything following up on that at all.
No.
And if it was, if she, as deputy chief of staff, was a source of leaks, then since she was appointed by Rince Priebus, this is the one who maintains the president's schedule, by the way.
Katie Walsh is guilty of multiple crimes if she has, in fact, been leaking like this.
And she was a never-Trumper, Jeff. Can you imagine putting a never-Trumper in that position?
That's right. So was McMaster, by the way. Did you know that?
No, that's pretty odd. He must have had quite a heart-to-heart with a guy that put him in there.
I don't know how he could do it, but Katie Walsh should have been gone, but not a word. It's been 5 or 6 days now. Not a word. If Priebus didn't know she was leaking, he sure as hell should have, and I think he did know. I think he's been involved with this. I think he's duplicitous, two-faced. He and Rat Ryan and others are working a separate agenda that are not Trump's. Hold on just a minute. We'll be right back. And we continue with Jim Fetzer. McMaster.
I think we got it on YouTube, and I just sent you the URL.
All right, very good. I'll watch for that. We got to pay attention to Flynn's replacement. Go ahead, Jim. What?
Oh, I wanted to pursue, you know, this fellow, Robert David Steele, and your impression. I mean, you and he share certain views about Priebus and that he wants to, you know, not be loyal to Trump but preserve the status quo. He's got this proposal for what he calls the Electoral Reform Act, which he believes will stop the violent American spring in its track, and he thinks that's the highest priority, not the nonsense about Russia and Iran. I'm not exactly sure what the Electoral Reform Act would do, but, I mean, I'm open-minded about it. He's also worried that if he doesn't get rid of the White House traitors, that he won't be reelected. He'll probably be impeached in 2018.
These are all speculative things, and they're his opinion. I don't necessarily share all of them. I listen, I understand, but I think the most important thing that he said last night was the obvious, and that's that Soros, Obama, the Clintons, David Brock et al. Are hard at work planning something obviously major for this spring. I think that's certainly a safe bet. Beyond that, I don't know. He said something at the end of the hour last night, which really was a shock for me. And we ran out of time. I was going to ask him about it, but it was said at the end. He has a program that he would like to apply to the national and worldwide pedophilia, satanic ritual abuse problem. And I believe he called it truth and reconciliation.
That's what we had in South Africa, Jeff. Are you there?
Yeah. Where it's
We got caught.
Okay.
We got cut right there when you were saying truth and reconciliation.
Oh, my. All right, let me repeat it. In the last minute or so, he said that his approach to the pedophilia and satanic ritual abuse crisis that is gripping much of this government and the Western world, if not the planet, was to bring forth a program that I believe he calls Truth and Reconciliation. And as I understood what he said, it is a program that would allow all pedophiles and worse to come forward, admit their problems, give an accounting of all the victims so they could find all the buried little children's bodies, and then reconcile all the crimes with their admissions as being essentially now removed from the books. In other words, get out of jail free, all is forgiven, just tell us who you are and what you've done. Now, that goes against the whole concept of being accountable in life for your crimes. And it came out and it actually floored me for a minute, and then we were out of time. I wanted to ask him more about it. I didn't have time. But I don't think truth and reconciliation is what these bastards deserve on any stage at any time. They deserve capital punishment, at the very least, in many cases. I don't believe in forgive and forget if you fess up. And that's the way I understood it. Now, I may be wrong, but that's how I heard it.
Well, the problem is, I mean, how does that change anything? It is just a free pass because they're not being punished for the crimes of the past, and it's going to be an entitlement to continue to perform them in the future, Jeff. I don't see that that's a solution to anything.
I just said the same thing. Forgive and forget doesn't apply to pedophilia and child murder and worse. Not in my book. Not in your book.
The link I just sent you is to the Podesta performance. It's said to be a heavy breathing performance. It's on YouTube now. Yeah.
I got it. All right. Very good. Let me pull it up here. So again, I don't want to misquote Robert, but that's, I believe, exactly what he said. I think the phrase was truth and reconciliation and no punishment for any admitted pedophiles, and that's how we take it off the table. So, but that's he's entitled to his opinion, and if that's what it is, if I have it right, it's certainly not something I would get behind.
John, Jeff, I don't see how that solves anything. I was just writing the name John Podesta. I don't see how that solves anything at all. I mean,
it can't. No, not in my view, it can't. No, I mean, I just don't see it. All right, Here's this video. Let me cue it up, and it is short. It's 2:45. Here we go. All right. It was inside Ping Pong Pizza, allegedly.
Each day I grow some more. I'm singing.
I gotta stop. I'm sorry. That's a little much for me.
Yeah, it's a bit horrendous, and he seems to be beating this child.
Whoever it is, I think a voice analysis is absolutely called for. That voice is recorded plenty clear to do a voice analysis and compare it with John Podesta or anyone else you want to compare it with. But I think we got the point there. Allegedly, that was recorded at Ping Pong Pizza. It is suspected to be John Podesta, but we don't know. I think we have to have a voice analysis on this, and I'm sure there are people listening who have that capability or know people who do. I will put the video up. It is YouTube. It's entitled John Podesta Beating a Little Kid at a Heavy Breathing Show. Hashtag Pizzagate. All right, make of it what you will. There it is. Pretty ugly stuff. So this whole, for me, Jim, and I may be old-fashioned, but any convicted pedophile should be put to death. You can't counsel these people. You don't pay $65,000 a year to incarcerate them. You get rid of them. You remove them from the gene pool. They're gone. Same thing with a convicted rapist. Capital punishment. They're gone. They're off the planet. We have to make a choice. The planet is either going to hell, and it's going to end up being a Luciferian satanic hell, or it's going to turn and right itself and become once again a good, spiritually wise and moral, generally speaking, planet. We're at a crossroads here. These people have transgressed to the point that they have given up and forfeited, in my view, their right to be on this planet. You just don't do that to children.
You might find this of interest. Cynthia McKinney was my guest on my show, and I had her for most of the show. And
very at the smart end, woman. What a smart woman.
Yeah, I admire her beyond words. Yeah. And I was pressing her on Pizzagate. And in the end, you know, she implied it was, of course, real. I was asking her whether Donald can drain the swamp, and she said that, yes, he could, but he has to go all the way to the top.
I think that's a fair statement. I think it does go all the way to the top, and I mean the top. Perhaps some of the people in the Trump administration, even. I just have no more tolerance for this kind of stuff. I'm sick of evil. I'm sick of hearing about pedophilia. I go back to covering the Franklin Institute scandal, Boys Town, all of that. I've had many people on the program addressing the issue of mind control, satanic ritual abuse, multiple personality disorder, DID, the whole thing. And I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm just done. Talk doesn't work anymore. You just have to clean the planet. Call it drain the swamp. These people don't every convicted rapist, they're gone. Out of here. That's it. Maybe it sounds coarse, but that's the way I see it now.
Of the issues we've been discussing, I think the modifications of the travel ban are to me most disturbing, because they really sound like he's gone squishy soft on the issue.
He's not only gone soft, he's abandoned his support base of 27% of America who believed him when he said that he would, in fact, round up and get rid of all criminal illegals to begin with, stop all importation of immigrants. He did say temporarily, I understand that, but this is not what we were told in the larger sense. We have to have pronouncements about anchor babies. This dreamer thing, letting the dreamers stay, is not acceptable. We have to start. What is this, Mr. President, about America First? Where is that? Is letting dreamers stay? Is letting anchor babies have citizenship and full rights? Is continually paying billions of dollars to illegal immigrants and giving them the best we have while Americans starve and go without? Is that making America great again? I don't think it is.
Well, it's very, very disturbing, Jeff, because this was a bottom line issue, I think, for most of us who were supporting him. This getting rid of the TPP, getting us out of these endless wars in the Middle East, and enforcing firm controls on migration, including the wall with Mexico. I think those were probably the key issues. They were for me.
Well, he was a peace president too, remember?
That's right.
What's he doing? What's he doing?
Well, I'm worried about that. He's supposed to be ending these wars, not initiating new ones, you know, and talking about putting troops into Syria is very disturbing all by itself.
How about tens of thousands of American troops and tanks on the Russian border? What is that?
Well, that's ludicrous. How did that come to pass in the first place, Jeff? Obama sent 3,600 tanks over there. It's outrageous that they're there. Trump ought to be pulling it back. I mean, is this a negotiating position?
Should have been the first day. I'm beginning to order the withdrawal of American troops from Eastern Europe. Yep. I will no longer support NATO until and unless they begin to pay their fair share. We will no longer be their bank account that they can draw on any time. We're getting out of the Middle East. We're going to let the Middle East settle its own issues, or the Russians, or we'll work with Vladimir Putin, as he said, to end ISIS. Now the Pentagon issues a directive or some kind of a statement several days ago that made it quite clear that we will no longer seek to work with Russia to end the issues of crisis in the Middle East. So I don't know who's in charge. Who's on first?
If an effort is made to make him a more acceptable president, I mean, it's going to be disillusioning for all of us who have admired his authenticity and the fact that he's not a conventional politician.
I agree. Let me go back to McMaster, who replaced Flynn, who should never have been allowed to leave the administration. Trump should have brought him back or said, no, you're staying. That's it. President Donald Trump has picked one of the military's leading warrior scholars to restore order to the National Security Council, but also one who has staked out a decidedly more hawkish position, see, here we go again, neocon, on Russia, and gone out of his way to assert that the war against terrorism must not morph into a war against Islam. What is that? What kind of protection of Islam is that? I can understand what he's saying. Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster, Trump's newly named replacement for ousted National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, is considered one of the Army's top intellectuals. When he was a young major, he published a best-selling book about failed military leadership during Vietnam, etc. And he's got a string of credentials a mile long. One of his biggest supporters is John McCain, who just went over to Syria on the QT again and met once again with terrorists.
McCain. That's god awful. I mean, if anyone that McCain supports, you got to view a second time with suspicion. I mean, that's just very disturbing. McCain is one of the leading traitors to the United States in our history.
Max Boot, a conservative military scholar at the Council on Foreign Relations, a CFR, keep that in mind, and a longtime critic of Trump, spoke for many so-called never-Trumpers in the Republican Party. McMaster is one of the most impressive Army officers of his generation, a rare combination of soldier and scholar, said Max Boot. I cannot imagine a better choice for National Security Advisor. Yet, like many, he also has doubts that McMaster can succeed if Trump does not moderate his rhetoric and insist on giving both Bannon and Kushner their own foreign policy portfolios. Quote, not even the most talented individual will succeed in that job as long as Bannon and Kushner continue to run their own foreign policies, and as long as Trump continues to make outlandish statements questioning basic American commitments and valued allies. Well, he just put his finger on something that can't be dismissed, and that is that Jared, don't call me Jerry, Kushner, who very well may be Mossad, does have his own foreign policy realm. Apparently Bannon has a great deal of influence there as well. So you've got two people pushing their own little agendas overseas. Where's Trump, the president, the commander-in-chief? I'm not sure. He does seem to be a little bit disassembled at times. I don't know what word you'd use, but that one kind of works. His foreign policy is not cohesive, not yet. And when you've got Kushner and Bannon, I don't know. And here's McMaster defending Islam, and I don't think it's defensible. I've said it before. By virtue of the Quran, it is, in fact, absolutely antithetical to Western Christian society and its values, and has as its prime directive the destruction of all of us. So how do you defend Islam?
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, it seems to me there's a significant difference between the Shia and the Sunni.
Sunni is 90%, Shia is 10, I think. That's the split about. Iran is almost all Shiite.
Right, and Iran has an impeccable record with regard to aggression. Right. And, you know, the attacks on Iran are so utterly without foundation that it seems to me it falls in the realm of pure propaganda. Anyone who's attacking Iran is uttering complete disinformation and clearly motivated by the Israeli agenda.
Another war for Israel, of course. One after another.
They don't want to have to contend with a powerful, influential nation in the Middle East. They want it to have it all to themselves. I mean, that's the whole deal. I mean, they got us into the Middle East to break up all the Arab states so that Israel could expand.
Right. Let me ask, before we run out of time, I'm sorry, but I want to ask you, and what I was talking about earlier, here's a pedophile who has beaten, abused, raped, sodomized, or worse, and in some cases killed little children, and in some cases eaten them. What would you do with someone like that?
Well, I'd give him a fair trial before I took him out and hung him. Or maybe line him up against the wall and shoot him. I mean, that's despicable.
Well, I think I may not spend enough time about the courtroom aspect, but obviously they have a fair trial. But the punishment for it has to be immediate. It's got to be certain. And in my view, if they're found guilty, they need to be removed.
I think this warrants a death penalty, yes. 100% I do. I think the abuse of children is one of the most heinous crimes possible.
And, let me ask you another question. You're a Somali or an Afghani, and you're in Europe, and you're running around with six or seven of your buddies, and you see a 16-year-old girl or a 14-year-old boy, and all of you get together and you rape that little girl. Maybe she dies, maybe she lives, but her soul is dead. And you rape the little boy, and the same thing happens to him. And you're brought before a court of law, and you're found guilty. What do you do with those people?
I think life. I think the death penalty is
why? Why should we pay for? Why should we pay to incarcerate them for life and give them internet, give them TV, big screen TV, give them
it's
sports?
It's absurd. It just compounds the damage done to society. I think there is a place for the death penalty, Jeff, and the cases you're outlining fully merit that extreme punishment.
I think we have to decide what kind of planet this is going to be. Yeah. We have to
listen,
make a decision.
I've taught ethics, Jeff. There's nothing unethical about this form of retribution as punishment for offenses of this magnitude that are so destructive to other persons.
They're off the scale. They're inhuman. They're anti-human. As I think most of us realize, the golden years of childhood are our best years, or should be. And when something that horrific is done, like the whoever that was beating that child.
Yeah. They're treating children as disposable, Jeff. I mean,
I understand.
What could be more antithetical to...
It's not human.
It's not. It's not merely inhumane. It's really inhuman.
I would have... If there was a button to push to remove that individual, whoever he was, I would have no problem pushing the button immediately.
Yep.
Out of here. We've got to clean the filth you know, drain the swamp and all that, but we've got to clean the filth out of the DNA and the mass of... Go ahead.
I just want to add before we have to conclude, everyone out there has to pay attention to this effort to discredit Trump on the ground that he's not in contact
mentally
with
well.
Reality. You know, I mean, he may be a little squishy on the travel ban, but that's far removed, you know. That's over-responding to criticism. I mean,
yeah.
This man is our only hope to save our nation, period.
It's the last call. It's the final crossroads.
This is it.
And I'm waiting for 90 days to make my formal and final preliminary judgment. But so far, I wish I could say I were more encouraged. I see treachery around him. I see treason. I see John McCain. I see, and it is proliferating, pedophilia, now being called just another lifestyle. No, it's not a lifestyle. Anyway, thank you, Sir James, as always. Great to talk to you. I always appreciate it, and we will talk soon.
My pleasure, Jeff.
Okay, good night.
Bye.
All right, and we'll be back with another hour for you right after this.